It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
So I was saying that we have started our character study and we're using our character that will be studied will be Joseph. Something about a character study that helps you find yourself within the character, that helps you find your experiences, whether past, current, experience in the experiences of the character. It's a beautiful thing. One of the lessons from a character study is how you begin to see yourself as the character and ask yourself, if I was in this situation, how would I have reacted? How would I have responded? What would have been my thought process if I was sitting in the seat of this individual? But okay, thank you so much. I see that. So for those of you unaware, these are the portions of scripture that we're reading. And so today, obviously, we are on Genesis 37 verses 1 to 28. Again, it's about the life of Joseph. So you ask yourself, if I was facing the same situation as this person was facing, this is how they responded. How would I have responded? Was their response healthy or unhealthy? Is my response at all? And those things just help you allow God's word to wash you, allow the Holy Spirit to just cleanse you. I should add this. When you are going through a character study or any form of study, ask the Holy Spirit to intervene. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you counsel, to speak to you through the scriptures that you were about to read, all right? Just reading and thinking that because you understand English or whatever language you're reading it in, you are going to understand it is foolhardy. Don't make that assumption. When you are going to do a character study, make sure you say, Holy Spirit, I'm about to read these portions of scripture. Speak to me through these portions of scripture, and He will do exactly that. So again, character study of Joseph. Our Bible reading for today is Genesis 37, 1 to 28. For the sake of time, I am not going to read that whole portion of scripture, but I'm going to tell you the things that jumped at me, the things that I took, the things that, you know, and when you're a minister of the gospel like me, and I speak to every minister that is also watching, if you're not careful, when you are studying these things, you find yourself studying for other people. You find yourself studying to teach instead of studying to first receive. And so when I was reading this, I had to pause and remove my teacher's mindset and become a student for myself and ask Holy Spirit, so what are you saying to me? And so let me jump into this. I will share with you from what the Holy Spirit was saying to me, my own personal takeaway. So when I Genesis 37, from verse 1 to 4, we are introduced to Jacob and more specifically to Joseph, and how the first four verses talks about favoritism. Did you notice that? How Jacob was showing extra favor to Joseph for whatever reason. The Bible tries to explain Jacob's reason for showing Joseph favor. But it got me really thinking about my own parental experience and how we experience, if we're not careful, we show favoritism. We show favoritism to our children because maybe one person has a personality that is similar to yours, and so it's just easier for you to get along with. Maybe one child is doing better than the other in one aspect or the other. And so you begin to show favoritism. Oh, I've seen parents do this. Maybe a child needs more care. Maybe the child has a medical condition, so the child needs more care than the other child, and so you neglect the other child and you show favor there. And what we fail to realize is that we cause unnecessary sibling rivalry. I've seen a lot of parents, and I grew up in an environment like this, and I'm sure my parents thought that they were saying this in order to encourage us. You know, they were saying this either to me or to one of my siblings. Look at what this other person got. Look at how this other child is doing better than you. And they use your sibling to compare to you, either to make you look better than them in their bid to ginger that sibling up, or show how better than you they are. The problem with that is what we see here. It causes unnecessary rift amongst the siblings. And that's what Joseph began to suffer because of the very obvious and loud favoritism that he experienced in his family. His siblings did not like him much. Joseph didn't do much to help his case, but they did not like him much. But let's pause. I also had to think about the fact that in the marketplace, though, in the marketplace, is it wrong to show favoritism? I think it's wrong to be unfair, because this was my contemplation last night, this morning. It's wrong to be unfair, and so you must be fair to all. But I think it's very difficult not to have a favorite and show it. I mean, if a person always shows up on time, a person always delivers, a person always does what is expected, and maybe a person even goes over and beyond the call of duty. I think in the marketplace, and I'm willing to hear your opinion on that. I think in the marketplace, I don't know, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's even expected for you to have the one that you will rather spend more time with, the one that you will rather hang around, the one that you will rather invite to the cookout from the office, and the others that you will not. I think that's okay, but it shouldn't play out. Well, tell me your thoughts. Maybe you don't agree with me, but I definitely think that that ought not to play out in our family experience. So those of us that are parents, we need to watch this, because if we do not, we will pitch siblings against each other if they don't grow out of the scenario that you have created. What else did I observe here? Okay, from verses 5 to 11, it's, for me, these were big issues. 5 to 11, so we see how Joseph begins to have a dream. And I've taught you this several times. Joseph has dreams, and his dreams were obvious. In his dreams, his siblings were bowing to him. In his second dream, even his parents were bowing to him. Well, his mother was late, but his father, the other wives, were bowing to him. And he was quick to go and share those stories. Let me read what I wrote here. Joseph's dreams of his family bowing to him were prophetic, but sharing them without tact escalated tensions. His boldness might have stemmed from youthful naivety, and so I excuse him. He was a kid. He was 17 years old. So I wrote here, his boldness might have stemmed from youthful naivety or his sense of destiny, yet it lacked wisdom. This phase of Joseph's life highlights the balance needed between vision and humility. Vision and humility. Sharing visions prematurely, sharing your dreams, sharing your visions prematurely can provoke unnecessary opposition. Today, leaders must discern, and I'm speaking to myself, leaders must discern the right time and audience for communicating their visions. It is not, see, I had to also accept this, not everybody is happy to hear about your rising. Not everybody. And so you need to be careful who you share even your victories with. Not everybody is happy that you are making progress. Jesus said something that was quite troubling. He said, a man's enemies shall even be members of his own household. Unfortunately, even in your own household, not everybody might be happy to hear that you are rising, to hear that you are being elevated. And so you need to be careful who you share your victories with, but you definitely need to be careful who you share your dreams with. There are individuals that you share your dreams with that their immediate response is to shoot it down. Their immediate response is to try and undercut you. I remember I was speaking to one of my pastors, actually our COO, and I was saying to her that we needed to make arrangements to get something done. And she was saying, should we inform X party and Y party? And I said, unfortunately, I don't think we should. The way they have behaved towards us, if they hear that we're trying to get X, Y, and Z, they might go behind our backs to undercut us. And that is sad, because the people I was also talking about were believers, all right? We're believers. Okay, and so be careful, and this is a major lesson for all of us, be careful who you share your dreams and visions with. My lesson, my takeaway lesson from that was patience and wisdom are vital when revealing aspirations. Sometimes it is wise to wait until God's timing aligns with your audience's readiness. You know, there's this saying out there now that work in silence. Build in silence. These days of social media, we're too quick to put what we are doing out there before it has gained enough traction. and then you wonder what has gone wrong. Build in silence. Let only the relevant people be accommodated on this journey, and you build in silence. That was a lesson for me. I want to quickly run through this because I'm hoping that one or two of you will share with me what you took, and I will read it. I am hoping to hear from one or two of you, because you are not supposed to just wait for me to tell you what I am learning. You are supposed to have read it yourself and learn something. So I'm hoping to learn from you as well. So let me quickly finish my thought. From verses 12 to 17, I noticed something, and for me, this was the first time I put a spotlight on this thought. In all my years of reading this, I never really paid attention to this. You will notice that Joseph knew his brothers did not like him. He knew that. They did not hide it. It was clear that they did not like him. And then his father asked him to go and give them news. Now, Joseph agrees to go. And two things, you know, I looked at it from two different perspectives. One, he knew his brothers did not like him, but his father asked him to go and do and check up on them and whatever. And he chose to go. You know, and it got me thinking about the issue of obedience to the word of God. I put Jacob, his father, in the position of God and me. And I was just thinking, am I willing to obey God in every instance, even when it is not convenient? Particularly and primarily when it is not convenient. Anybody can obey when it's convenient. And I began to ask myself, if I know it's not convenient, if I know I will experience some discomfort, but this is what God is asking me to do, am I in that position in my walk with Him where I will damn the consequences and I will go ahead and do it? I even had to ask myself that if this situation is such that being faithful in this instance is going to cost me a lot, am I willing to stay committed to my convictions, to stay committed to my moral convictions, even if I am going to lose someone, lose something, lose an opportunity? Am I at that space? And it really, I had to really pause to ask myself and go through my journey and see where areas in my life, in my history, where I had faced a test of my character, and where a compromise at that point seemed easier, as an easier option. And I asked myself, did I capitulate? Did I yield to the compromise? Did I stand my ground? And I could see areas where I stood my ground, and areas where I could have done a bit better. I really could have done a bit better. And I had to pause and say, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to stand for what I believe. When it's not convenient, when there are consequences, negative consequences, help me to choose to obey, irrespective of the circumstance. And I don't know what you pick from there, but that was something that I really had to put a mirror, use as a mirror to evaluate myself. Am I there yet? But I also tried to look at it from another perspective. You know, the fact that, again, I think the naivety of Joseph was showcasing. You know, the fact that, yes, his brothers did not like him, but he never thought that even though they did not like him, they will go that far. He never thought that they will go that far. And that is, you know, I was saying to someone yesterday after our service that if someone had said to David, and this is a big lesson for all of us, if someone had said to David that the time will come where he will take a woman that did not belong to him and he will kill a man in order to just take his wife and cover his crime, David would have said, are you mad? Do you know who I am? Do you know how much I love God? Do you understand my relationship with God? David would have said so. But David did. He did. But he did not do it. He did not get there overnight. And there lay my concern. And I had to put this scripture, this character study, as a mirror to myself. In what area, you know how sin can creep up on you? You've not completely done it, but you are beginning to open the door. You are beginning to open the door. You are beginning to entertain that text message that is flirtatious, and you are married. And that text message is flirtatious. You've not done anything yet. Maybe you've not even replied, but you are reading it. and you are liking it. You can tell that you are liking it. You're telling yourself, you know, it's one of those cases where you're saying to yourself, stop it, I like it, stop it, I like it. You've not done anything yet, but you are opening the door. You are opening the door. Sin, usually, those things regard as big sins, usually don't happen and occur big immediately. They encroach on us. And I'm curious, let's ask ourselves that question. Is that happening to us? Are you there? Is that your story right now? That for me is such a big deal. Do not let sin gradually creep up on you. Those brothers in ab initio, if they had said to them, one day you will sell your own blood into slavery, they probably would have said no. And how can that ever be? But they did. They did. So let's watch ourselves and not let sin gradually creep up on us. For me, that was a big one, and I had to really do an evaluation. In what areas am I beginning to accommodate something that is unhealthy, something that is ungodly? In what areas am I beginning to accommodate it? All right, let's push through. And then verses 18 to 28, the final verses. I just, of course, I saw the impact of betrayal and the cost of favor. I did you notice what I said? For me, my lesson there, and I just felt it, this was my big lesson. From the last set of verses 18 to 28, I saw betrayal, and I also saw the cost of favor. Child of God, know this. If you are favored by God, if you are favored by men, if you begin to rise, you begin to prosper, enemies will rise. Enemies will come out of nowhere. The kind of enemies that you will say to yourself, what did I even do to you? How is my progress impacting you negatively? But note this, there is no lifting. There is no rising. There is no promotion that will not engender negative responses from people who do not rejoice with you. This is a big issue. And so when enemies rise because of your blessing, do not fret. Do not whine. Know this, that you still serve a God that is able to build a table before you in the presence of your enemies. As you begin to rise, people will begin to post negative things about you in social media. Don't mind them. It's only, you see, people that backbite and people that begin to shout and try to criticize you on social media platforms, try to criticize you in your workplace, there is a reason it's called backbiting, because they have to be behind you in order for them to speak about you. They have to be behind you, so they are behind you. But note that your rising will create enemies, and God has factored that in. He has. Stay submitted to Him. And when the enemies rise, note that God is still working for you. I will say, betrayal from people you trust can really do damage to your heart. I began to ask myself, what was going on in his mind when he experienced this betrayal? These were people, he knew they didn't like it, but I'm sure he never thought they will take it this far, that they will sell him. I'm sure even when they started negotiating, he was thinking, they will come to their senses now. And then the Midianites carried him away. He probably was crying, he was begging, he was screaming, maybe even threatening, and he did nothing. Can you imagine how he would have been so broken? That journey in chains. He was a slave. He was sold as a slave. So chains on his arms and feet in a cage. He probably would have sat there just thinking, what the hell is going on here? Oh my goodness. And that was his experience. But he had to heal himself from the wounds that he had experienced from those that he loved. When people that we love hurt us, it stings a lot more, but we have to heal. I because I know the story of Joseph, I see that he healed. And because Joseph healed, he was able to keep rising. I speak to everyone who is carrying a deep pain. Maybe it's a pain that has come as a result of a divorce, a pain that is in your heart because of your current relationship, maybe with your child, somebody in your family that you are holding a grudge against, malice, somebody in your workplace, maybe current past that you are holding something against. We need to learn from Joseph. I'm sure his mind was overwhelmed with grief, sadness, anger. I don't care who you are, there must have been anger. But I also see in later scriptures or chapters that Joseph healed. I pray over you, you will heal. For those of you struggling, may you heal. For those of you that have been so hurt and you are struggling to move on, may you heal. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right. In summary, I saw God's sovereignty. I learned character in crisis. I learned how to handle favor. I mean, Joseph didn't know how to handle favor. When he was expressing favor from his father, he shouldn't have rubbed the nose of his brothers in it. He should not have done that. He had to live with the same people. He should have known not to make them an enemy, right? But he didn't know how to handle favor. So it's lessons like that.